Welcome to the Kristen Show with your hosts, Chris and Ten.
Eminem, Mr. Potato Head, Pepe Le Pew. What do these have in common? If you guessed that they're adored all around the world, you would be wrong. Hi guys, and welcome to episode number 5 of the Kristen Show. We're your hosts, Ten and Chris, not necessarily in that order. As you might surmise from the title of today's podcast, we are talking about cancel culture today and woke culture.
Alright, so let me get on with the disclaimer. Right, because we definitely do not want cancel culture coming for us. Or they might not. Let's see. Right. So basically, the views and opinions on this podcast are of Ten and myself, Chris. It is in no means directed to any one person or any persons in plural. It is just directed towards the culture and towards a shift. So that's pretty much all I have to say about my disclaimer.
Okay, fantastic. So thanks for that. So legally, guys, remember this is opinion and not fact and or slander.
Yeah, sorry, missed that part.
Yeah, just saying, just putting that out there, just sprinkling that on top, because I know that you're coming with the smoke already, right? I know.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this one.
But So the cancel culture has been really doing its thing lately. It's been putting out some hits. Some are successful. Some are not so much, but they're trying. And I want to talk about first cancel culture's hit on Eminem specifically, because I love Eminem. Okay, Marshall Mathers is undoubtedly. I don't want to hear any arguments. He's one of the greatest to ever do it.
I agree.
Yeah, but I know they say Gen Z, and I guess it's pretty much Gen Z, because millennials are not trying to cancel Eminem. No millennial is trying to cancel Eminem.
Neither is Gen X. Gen X is not even taking it off.
Gen X have tried. Previously, boomers have tried, for sure. I mean, they were the ones. They were the original ones to try to do it.
They are still trying. I mean...
Are they trying? Are they not like...
Well, I mean, basically, we had two U.S. presidents who tried to cancel him and failed significantly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have presidents and, you know, basically heads of state going after this person and not being able to cancel him, you really think that a cancel culture is actually going to cancel him?
And I find it somewhat hilarious that they're trying to cancel Eminem, especially for that line in that one song, Love the Way You Lie. Like, of all songs, so many songs before that song.
But the thing is that, like, this is why millennials and Gen X and previous cannot understand about they wanting to cancel Eminem over this song, because basically this was Eminem's and Rihanna's response to Rihanna's personal experience of domestic abuse, and this was a song to bring light to it, to basically show what it is like in a toxic relationship.
If I remember correctly, in the music video there was a PSA about domestic violence.
So it is not that he's actually saying that, you know, he's going to do something. I mean, Eminem has said a lot worse. He's basically killed his mother. He's killed his girlfriend. He's talked about erratic fans who killed his pregnant girlfriend. He's killed other people. This is why I don't understand. And he's very graphic with it. You're actually bringing a song that is meant to be positive and to actually shed a cultural light on the issue of domestic violence, and this is what you want to cancel him on for? Really? Gen Z?
I mean, that would take you to the direction of one biggest shortcomings to me, but I don't want to get there just yet. I don't want to get there because I am extremely entertained by Eminem versus cancel culture. Because, again, this is the man who said, "You find me offensive. I find you offensive for finding me offensive." Like, what? What is there?
Listen, Eminem's CD actually had to come with a disclaimer, okay? The Marshall Mathers LP actually had to come with a disclaimer at the beginning of it before you started the entire set of songs, right?
Yeah.
That's basically trying to tell you what type of person you're dealing with. Like, no one could have put a lid on Eminem. No one could have censored his lyrics. Not his recording studio, no one. Right. The only thing that they could have done to actually bring out his music is make sure and put a disclaimer at the beginning of it.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And I saw this tweet that kind of sums it up. It's like, you want to cancel Eminem with claims that he is promoting violence. This is a man who one of his earliest, biggest hits starts off, "Hi kids, do you like violence?" What?
What are you like from it? Oh, that was a good song. Yes.
It is.
Yes. But Eminem is a legend. Why are you going after our legends?
But you see, that's the thing though. I know that you want to bring all the smoke, right? And I agree. And I love Eminem.
I'm containing it right now. I'm so containing it right now. Trying to be a little civil right now, because if I decide to go Eminem on this podcast, it's probably going to be banned from everywhere. So trying to keep it a little bit civil right now.
Trying to keep it PG. But no, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. And I guess I'll probably expand on this a little later after you eventually blow your gasket, because I know it's coming.
I made my list.
To me... Okay, Santa. Did you check it twice?
Everybody has been naughty. Don't need to check it twice.
Ah. Okay, cool. The fact that you said, you know, Eminem is our legend. Why do you want to go after a legend? Is one of the things that I think cancel culture, being quote-unquote woke warriors, call out culture, it's one of the things that I think it gets right. Nobody's above it. Nobody's untouchable. If you do wrong, you can get called out for it. And I think that's fantastic.
Now, I agree with you to a certain point, because basically what we've seen is that cancel culture came out of from the Me Too movement. And the Me Too movement is basically about domestic violence and basically even underage grooming, all these things that have happened to women that they've been keeping silent for years from public, well, that happened with public figures. And that's even like with the Epstein, I can't remember his girlfriend name now, don't really care. Weinstein, all these things, and all these actors and actresses who actually came out, even other public figures who came out to say that, listen, when they now got in the business, these are the kind of things that they had to go through, right? Which were physical violations. And you know, they didn't speak about it, because if they did, they would have been blacklisted and would not have been able to actually become or reach where they are. And one of the good things about this is that we're actually seeing a little more equality, even like how when they're saying how women are paid for doing films, because we knew that there's basically an entire gap between men's salary and women's salary in films. And that is one of the good things about the cancel culture and the Me Too movement, because they're actually bringing these things to light. No. Basically, cancel culture needs to realize, right, where it has power and where it doesn't have power. And I don't know if you want to comment on that before I start.
No, tell me. You're not okay. Ready for that.
All right. So, basically, I understand the cancel culture. Now, cancel culture has merit in matters like racism, homophobia, domestic violence, anything that is an injustice to another person that is of merit. And I understand that. I get that. And I am not saying that we don't need a cancel culture for stuff like that. Right? Even right now, basically, we're seeing a rise in racism. We're seeing a rise in a lot of dystopian types, things that we never thought that, you know, in this day and age we would have to face. And the cancel culture and with social media is actually bringing a positive light towards that.
Right, right, I get you. Things are very divisive and there's a lot of hate that's being spewed out. And with cancel culture, it's a forced accountability is what I want to say for persons who otherwise could have just, you know, directed a lot of negative energy towards people and had problematic behaviors and nobody, no one would correct them.
Yes. Now, the reason why I am not in agreement with cancel culture, right? Is let's start. Mr. Potato Head, right? Which has now been rebranded to Potato Head, right? Why was...
Hold on. Let me interrupt you. What they said, I hope I'm correct. I read this in response to people's negative reaction to Mr. Potato Head being canceled. They said they're not going to cancel him. They will also still have a line of Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head, but now they'll also have an additional line of just the Potato Head. So this probably shows a little bit of water on your argument here, but I guess it's kind of also only a reaction to people being upset about the impact of cancel culture. So you could still go ahead and...
Well, the thing about it is that, okay, I get it, right? We have Mr. Potato Head and we have Mrs. Potato Head, right? Then we go to Potato Head, right? For the persons who don't identify with their sex and all those things. I get that. It's fine, right? Now, with the Mr. Potato Head is that Mr. Potato Head, well, a potato, because Mr. Potato Head is based on a potato, right? Mm-hmm. Is basically sexless. It has no gender. Right? So, all well and fine, you keep the potato head, right? But making the entire argument about Miss Potato Head, it's a genderless vegetable. Right? Did we need to actually put so much effort on it? Okay, sorry. Did they need to put so much effort on it?
You know me, I enjoy playing devil's avocado. So, regardless of
whether I think you need to be devil's apricot now.
Listen, I'll say things. I don't even know, honestly, I'm being honest with regards to this. I'm not entirely sure where I stand, but I just want to put the other perspective out there for you. So, yeah. The potato is initially, you know, it has no gender, it's just a potato. But then when we created the toy, we assigned a gender to it. There's a Mr. Potato Head, and then they also created the follow-up for a Mrs. Potato Head. And that's very binary. So the argument is, you know, children who play with these toys now. Also, I don't know who still plays with this. I'm being honest. Are they still souls? Because I... anyway.
I'm not sure. I can't tell
that's
you.
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. But that was my question. Are these still sold?
Anyway. I really can't tell you. I guess we have to check Amazon. Let's check.
What are the sales for the potato head toys? But anyway, while you check. Children who do not identify... You know, it's not a cis boy or a cis girl. They either identify with another one or non-binary, or they are in a family that don't conform to gender roles. When they play with these toys, they would want to play with it to recreate their reality. But the toys are very gendered. So the argument is, remove the gender from something that is originally genderless anyway.
Well, I mean, you can't really argue with that because, I mean, Barbie is still female. Yes, they've made different versions of Barbie, but what are you gonna say? Barbie is not supposed to be a female.
Well,
because they have Ken too, right?
And so, is bringing out a line of gender neutral Barbie. So I heard that. I don't know how accurate that is. I did not check, but I heard.
Let's check that out one time too. Gonna check out all that.
But yes, actually, and that conversation will take us into a place very separate from cancel culture and more into what is identified as transphobia. Did you hear the commentary on baby reveal parties, baby gender reveal parties?
Now, if I say what I want to say about that one, right, I am going to just say that those baby reveal parties are what caused a good few of the forest fires of 2020, right, and 2019. So I do not agree with those things at all. Why do they need to be so big? That is my issue with that.
Okay, well, I will briefly comment on it. Basically because I see both sides. So I saw the post, it was from, I don't remember his name.
Oh, so you agree with the forest fires?
No. That was bad. That was terrible. Honestly, I have never attended a baby gender reveal party. I don't know people who do it. We have baby showers. That's it. So I can't really say that I can. What's the word I'm looking for? Relate. I can't relate to the people who love their gender reveal parties. But I do see the both sides of the argument. You know, where on the one hand, as Ilok very eloquently explained, it is transphobic because it assigns a gender to this unborn child who may not identify with it. And it operates on the assumption that you cannot identify with a gender.
Whatever you are born as. That's where I have to disagree. Basically, it's not assigning a gender. Right. Well, I mean, yes, it's either a boy or girl, but basically it's just telling you if it's an XY chromosome or XX chromosome. Right.
I was gonna say that's the flip side of the argument. But I mean, it's to me it's such a nuanced conversation.
But the thing is that where do we stop? Where do we draw the line with cancel culture? Because the thing is that cancel culture is bringing on a full dystopian of historical, and basically it's going against the norms and trends of what previous generations grew up with. So you cannot, as we talked about previously, you cannot change your mindset at the drop of a button to please everyone. And the thing is that if you're going to try to please everyone, you're basically going to fail at it. Because someone is always going to have an issue with something. So, like you say, just in case, you know, you decide to have a gender reveal, right? And you put, you know, even if you decide to put pink for the boy and blue for the girl, right? That's going to cause an uproar with certain people. Certain people like it, right? So where do we draw the line? Where is the line drawn with cancel culture? Because at the end of the day, and I'm going to say this, I know that this is going to bring up some issues, but basically, cancel culture is just Karen. That is exactly what cancel culture is just a group of Karens.
I love that hot take. I want to come back to it, but I just want to say that I just read that Mr. Potato Head had sales of 103 million in the last quarter.
Woohoo! You go, Mr. Potato Head. Don't let anyone tell you what you can or cannot be. I'm sorry, you know that this is my topic that I'm gonna get really worked up on.
I want you to bring this more to me. You're still holding back.
Wait, no, we haven't reached my part of the topic yet. So wait till we reach Looney Tunes. Wait till you reach Looney Tunes.
Well, let's reach. Because honestly, I do have my disagreements with cancel culture. I do. But I want to comment on it in general. And also, I want to hear you take it down. So,
okay.
Let's reach. Tell me about Monsieur Pepe Le Pew and friends.
Okay. All right. For me to start on this, I just need to breathe. Right? I just need to breathe. Right? And then...
realign your chakras.
Okay.
So we've done our breathing exercises and tell me about Looney Tunes.
Okay, let me start off by just saying, right? I just want to put this out there, maybe a little bit controversial, but I'm still going to put it out there, right? Cancel culture succeeded due to the inability to say, I forgive you. Forgiveness is not an exercise or justification, but it's the willingness and ability to be proven to do better. Next.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Right? Sorry.
Cancel culture as understood today isn't real. Not only do people and things allegedly get canceled by this imaginary movement, often prevail in the end. The whole concept is just a smokescreen to distract from actual systemic forces of suppression.
Okay. Well, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And to be honest, I don't think that is controversial at all. It's actually what I had written here as one of my personal grievances with cancel culture is, well, one, is it effective really? I mean, when people get canceled, do they really stay canceled? I can't really think of anybody who actually has.
I guess
it probably has happened, but it's rare.
Reasons for what you got cancelled for. Now, if it's not a valid reason, then
yeah,
it kind of just died down.
Yeah, cancel culture sort of jumps the gun a lot of the times. And then also, even when it is successful, my thing is, we often cancel... attempt to cancel people for a moment in time, one-off, or something in the past statement. All of these energies would be so much better directed to actual societal ills, you know, like human trafficking and child pornography and income inequality. You know, the things that are truly making our society bad.
And gender-based peeing. Don't forget that one.
Gender-based violence.
Right.
So,
no, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. As we said before, once cancel culture is a positive, once there's a valid reason for it, and once it's actually bringing to light the suppression of minorities and different genders and even the violence, it is a good in that way. But when you're talking about stuff like Eminem and like Looney Tunes, which I'm ready to get into, right? There is where I have an issue. And basically most of the millennials and Gen X does have an issue. Are we ready for the Looney Tunes?
I'm ready.
Okay. So now, basically, Space Jam is... a legendary movie that was basically a classic movie that was done, no, I can't remember how many years ago, featuring Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes cast, where Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes cast had to play a basketball game against aliens for ownership of Earth. And it was a hit. It is a classic. It was an amazing movie because I love Looney Tunes. Michael Jordan is awesome. And, you know, he's a legend also. So it was an amazing movie. So let's start. Space Jam 2 is a sequel that is fixated heavily on cancel culture. Edits to the film potentially took place as a result of shifting public attitudes. And namely, we are talking about Pepe Le Pew. Now, for those who don't know who Pepe Le Pew is, right? Pepe Le Pew is a love-struck skunk who pursues a cat in the name of love. Right. Now, before I get into that, Looney Tunes has been a staple for Gen X and millennials when we were kids. It actually brought different perspectives together. Also, it did give two new generations introductions and the love of classical music because of the fact that Looney Tunes, in most of their episodes, did have classical music incorporated in the episodes, like Chopin, Mozart, Bach, and it did give us all of those things. Now, Looney Tunes, I don't know if they really needed to put a disclaimer on it, for entertainment purposes only. Right? Now, let's get into the issue of Pepe Le Pew. So, the joke is that he's basically a narcissistic buffoon who doesn't understand that Penelope Pussycat despises him. Now, the reason why this entire cancel culture movement took place is that a New York Times writer tweeted that basically the skunk Pepe Le Pew contributed to rape culture by saying he grabs and kisses repeatedly without consent. She struggles, but he won't release her, and he locks the door to prevent her from escaping. Right. Now, we all know that that was for entertainment purposes only. And the thing that is left out of this tweet is that after Pepe Le Pew fell into an entire barrel of paint and Penelope Pussycat actually saw his body, she retaliated with the same actions against Pepe Le Pew. Now, I'm not saying that this was right, but at the end of the day, this was just for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, again, I hear you. I don't disagree, but you know me, DA, that was avocado.
Apricot.
Apple? Nah, that's probably the apple that Eve ate, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway. Apple might actually tell us something about this, yeah.
Apple might actually plunge us into a world of sadness. Anyway,
yeah, disclaimer time.
Devil's avocado. I get you. But, I mean, is he wrong, though? The New York Times writer, that is. Is he wrong? Like, it was not consensual at all. And these are advances being made where the cat, whatever her name was obviously struggling against it, and which is a clear and direct no, and he still proceeded. So I mean, he's not wrong in what he's saying, but, and I get that it's for entertainment only, but it might not be entertaining to some people. It could be triggering. Well, I mean, clearly it was.
Well, I mean, that is the thing, right? That is the entire issue. Cartoons are made for entertainment purposes only, right? We've had this argument from since back in the day with video games, right? There are a lot of arguments back then that basically was trying to drive that video games promote violence and cause violent tendencies in those who play video games, well, the violent video games, mm-hmm. Right? Now, the thing is that in Grand Theft Auto, right, I can beat up a prostitute, I can steal a police car, right, I can be chased, right, I can beat up a granny, and this is not basically motivating me to actually go and find a prostitute or steal a police car, right, and do all of these things. These are for entertainment purposes only, because the thing is that the people who played this when it now came out, even Mortal Kombat, right, people who play this when it now come out are functioning members of society who, most of them, the majority of them, I mean, there are some issues, but the majority of them are functioning members of society who basically has not been lured into doing these types of acts, right? Because of the fact that you played a video game or you watched a cartoon. So are you going to say that we need to basically censor every single thing? Because there are many more games right now. There are many more cartoons right now that has a lot worse things than the stuff that we were actually growing up on. So what are you trying to say?
Well, I agree. I really do. I genuinely do. I guess that brings us again, you know, back to the question of drawing the line. Now, where do you draw the line? Where do you decide that, okay, this is something that needs to be addressed versus this is what it is?
Now, okay, so there is additional information on the entire Pepe Le Pew thing. The creators basically said that they did a census, well, conducted a poll basically on the likability of the characters of Looney Tunes to kids in 2021, and Pepe Le Pew was not one of those that basically stood out or kids basically associated with, right?
I mean
he had his moments, but he wasn't one of the main characters that you'd actually look out for and stuff. And if you said something like that, right, we would understand that, okay, fine, Pepe Le Pew was cut from the movie because of the fact that he's not relatable, and at the end of the day, it's about making a great movie that basically mimics what Space Jam was to that generation. And but the thing is that when you provide a one-sided argument and basically cause this entire cancel culture not based on full information, then that is an issue. Because you're saying that he's been canceled for a negative, well, he's basically been cut out of the cartoon for a negative perspective when we didn't have all the information of why he was cut out. Give us the information.
So I'm a little lost. Was he canceled for real?
He was canceled from, like, they cut him out from the parts that did have him in Space Jam 2.
I mean canceled in the sense of cancel culture canceled. Is it because of the whole sexual aggression thing, or was it just that he was just going to be removed?
That is the thing. The creators of Space Jam 2 is saying that basically it is because of the consensus that is why he is cancelled, because of the fact that he doesn't appeal to kids nowadays, and basically they would not be interested in seeing him in the movie. However, cancel culture has basically gone and basically with the part that he was cancelled because of the rape culture.
Well, somebody is right, somebody is wrong. But
and that's why I have my issue.
Well, but no, I'm still lost as to what exactly the issue is. Because regardless, let's say that that poll never happened, right?
Right. And it could just be seen as a cover piece. Save piece, sorry.
Oh, no, I was going with a hypothetical situation.
Oh, sorry.
But that too. If that poll had never happened, there would still be the question surrounding his problematic behavior, so to speak.
Now, the thing is that basically when these cartoons were made, right, there are a lot of instances in Looney Tunes where when you watch it nowadays, it actually raises red flags. But back then, it was just for entertainment purposes only. And the people watching it knew that it was just for entertainment purposes only and not basically what you need to change your lifestyle to become. But even, like, I watch Looney Tunes now, and it does have a lot of things with a lot of the characters that right now would be like, this is wrong. You should not be doing something like this. This is part of our history. This is part of our cartoons that we grew up in and all these things. Now, are you going to say that, I mean, look, even we can look at Simpsons from way back when. Bart has always been Bart. right? Are you going to say that you're going to cancel the Simpsons? Simpsons have been running for almost 35 years, probably even more than that, right? Cartman is the next one, but I mean, many different people tried to cancel South Park and they never succeeded. Are you going to say that that was an issue? Even a lot of our social norms and cultures from back then is what influenced the cartoons that we're watching, because even there are a few Disney cartoons that basically have been gone under the chopping block and actually has been removed from Disney Plus because they've gone, because Dumbo is one of them, Peter Pan is another one that they've basically, Disney Plus have removed because of cultural inappropriation in it. Now the thing is that when those cartoons were made, it basically was a different time and a different level that was accepted. Now time has evolved, but these are parts of our history. Are we gonna say that we're gonna cancel history?
Well, you see, here's the thing, right? What you take issue with, I still kind of applaud, if I'm being honest, because yes, it happened within our history that's what the norms were back then, but you cannot deny that it isn't necessarily right. And think of it this way, you know, there's a whole drive on why representation matters. When you see something in a movie or a cartoon or read this in a book or whatever type of media you consume it in, that puts down a part of your identity, whether it's race or religion or whatever it may be, but it casts in a negative light as the butt of a joke. Yeah, you know it's meant for entertainment, but there is a part of you that could potentially internalize that negatively.
And I understand.
I'm not really saying it is actually that deep.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't feel like it really is that deep, but I am aware that it could be. And I think that is the intent behind taking action against these type of things that pop up, even in old books and films, or cartoons, etc.
No, I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, our culture comes from our history of world events, our history of entertainment, our history of basically general socio environment, all of these things. And it's only from history can we learn, right, how to evolve and how to accept. And these are things that were done historically. Basically, most of the people who worked on like Dumbo and Peter Pan and stuff deceased, because those movies came out in like 1950s, 1960s, and this was basically the type of thing that they grew up with, and they made a movie of entertainment. If we don't have our history, right, to show us basically what was an issue back then, right, how do we know where we're going? Because if you don't have a history, then you basically don't have a future, because we know from all the dystopian movies that basically history is changed, culture is canceled, and it's kind of basically that we have no identity and we have no beliefs.
Sameness.
And then the thing is that, yes, okay, I understand if something comes up now, right, based on historical, why you'd want to go after it. But the thing is that if we can't accept that that was historical and it was done, and yes, it was accepted back then, but the world is still moving towards a change, this is how we evolve. And basically trying to cancel historical stuff is basically showing that it's not evolving, because you're just putting prejudice and you're just putting hate against different generations, different views of thinking. And where do we go from there?
Well, I have two things I want to say to that. Again, it's not as I entirely disagree with you. I really don't. But on the flip side, two things I want to say is one, regarding specifically like movies and books, etc. Yes, it's part of our history. And we are aware now, well, a lot more aware, objectively, that a lot of these things are wrong. To have it remain means that the creators of this art or whatever it is continues to profit on these negative stereotypes or behaviors endorsed in the media for entertainment purposes, yes, but they're profiting from it, even though clearly it's bad simply because it's part of a history.
That's now, honestly, questionable.
And no, hold on.
Oh, sorry.
The second thing, it's a lot more nuanced. It's not so hard and fast because I can't help but think of when you mention history and what has been and leaving it because it's a part of history and recognizing where we came from. I can't help but think of the debates surrounding Confederate flags in the States and particular statues that celebrate pro-slavery sentiments.
And
there are things that are a part of our history that when they remain in our present, they are harmful. They are harmful to certain groups.
No, and I agree with you.
I don't think they could remain.
I definitely agree with you there. And as we agreed before, cancel culture is positive when it's actually focused on the issues, which is like racism, the Confederate flags, all these things, because of the fact of the injustice that has been done to a certain set of people. And cancel culture is positive when we look at it from that aspect. But when you're actually looking at a cartoon character, right, and that was done for entertainment purposes only, and basically twisting it to show a devious part of, or a devious type of cancel culture, instead of the actual facts that I read about the consensus that says that he basically did not appeal to kids and current kids and stuff, is that you're not giving us all the information. Now, the Confederate flags and the statues and everything, we have the full information and those things, those are well informed. And that is a valid decision because of the injustices that were done. I still don't agree with Looney Tunes and having cancel culture be a part of this.
I'm not saying to agree specifically with Looney Tunes or with Eminem. I'm just thinking of it holistically, and I think it would be not wise for us to say that we should not go after things simply because they're a part of our history.
But then if you're
our
gonna say that
is not right, is shining because
if you're gonna say that, then basically you're promoting censorship just because one party or one set of persons don't agree with something. Now that can be classified as with books, with school syllabus, with anything. And then, as you say, where do we draw the line? Because I mean, we have a lot of books that are very controversial, right? Honestly, I have one point to say that I'm very glad that the Harry Potter movies were made back in our day. Because I know cancel culture went after J.K. Rowling because of her tweets. But in one of her tweets, her earlier tweets, she mentioned that Dumbledore is gay. Well, was gay. Why did it not make it to the movie? Because of the fact that it was not part of the storyline. Right. I'm sure cancel culture would have probably gone after the movie because of the fact that they did not promote that Dumbledore was gay.
Well, I mean, she didn't say it in the books either, so...
She didn't. She only said it on Twitter.
Yeah, so I don't think they could have logically attacked the movie since it was not
in
the book.
Listen, I still can't justify their thinking. They may or may not.
Listen, I'm really trying to you know, put some balance in it. Again, I think I mentioned this. Some of the things I'm saying, I am not entirely sure where I stand on it. It's just that I see I see both sides of the story and I want to add it. But what I really want to say, I don't want to just think about cancel culture and the incidents that we're experiencing now, which brought us to this conversation, which is, you know, Looney Tunes and Mr. Potato Head and Eminem. For me, it's a fruitless effort and also pointless to try to cancel Eminem. Why bother?
Because people have tried.
Why bother? I mean, the things that he has said has also been for shock value, which will sell, and it has sold. And we loved it.
We think Kim's still alive. We believe Kim's still alive.
Well, I mean... I mean, do we know? Because have you heard the conspiracy theory that a lot of these celebrities actually have been cloned and Eminem is one of them?
No, I have not. But I believe Kim's still alive somewhere.
All right. Well, that was just a side note.
I mean, but seriously, Eminem has basically killed a lot of people in his songs. And a good few of them still alive, so...
Yeah, it was, as you say, for entertainment, and it was for shock value, and it worked, and we enjoyed it. So there has to be a line. But holistically, again, I want to emphasize, even though I'm going to speak about my biggest grievance with cancel culture, I do think that we have a place for the approach. I think it serves a lot of good. Because in general, it operates in defense of the cause for a lot of people who have been oppressed or marginalized. That's the intent of it behind cancel culture, I think, anyway, to protect and elevate voices that have been otherwise silenced. But it is inherently flawed as an approach because it within it, there's the risk of basically just doing what we've always done, which is to champion the rights and the values of one group to the exclusion of another group or other groups. So honestly, in the way that it operates now, it's just a repetition of what has always been the case historically. And even with that, I guess there is some positive because it's a shift in dynamics. I mean, we know there's one core group, and I won't elaborate on that, but one core group whose rights and opinions have, you know, always been valued, you know, within our lifetimes and past few generations, and anything contradictory to that group was rejected. So I do love the impact of cancel culture because, you know, it's champions of the disenfranchised. But at the end of the day, again, cancel culture is kind of becoming just another iteration of them versus us. And if I'm correct in its intent, it's really to be inclusive and welcoming and making it a space where everyone can be themselves and not be rejected or cast aside by other persons. You know, basically to eradicate problematic behaviors, right? So I think it's extremely important if we want to consider ourselves an inclusive generation that we recognize that without tolerance, we can never truly have inclusion. And that might be a bit of a hot take, so I'll say that again. Without tolerance, we will never have true inclusion. Because when we take something someone says as that one instance out of context of who they are and or what they grew up with, what they really believe, whether this is a mistake or not, and we want to cancel them based on that event or just basically just move hard and fast and just exclude people, basically we're just excluding people and we're not considering the option of looking at, it could be the case of where we need to correct misinformation or miseducation. And instead we're just creating another marginalized group, another them versus us, where we are the correct ones and we are the righteous and shame on you and you are now basically, I guess, the unrighteous.
I just have one quote to say, and I know a good few people in history have said it, right? Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it. And that is my issue with the entire cancel culture. It's not,
well, not the entire cancel culture.
Okay, sorry. Yes. A certain section or certain issues that is raised by cancel culture. Because at the end of the day, we're looking to be a more evolved society, more understanding, more accepting, listening to everyone, putting the good of the many before the good of the few. And the thing is that without history and without knowing the past, right, we will not know where we're going and where is basically our target or goal.
It is true. It is very true.
So we go back to Looney Tunes.
Right. Looney Tunes.
Now we're going to go with another star of Looney Tunes. Right. Well, not really star of Looney Tunes, but she was a star in Space Jam. Lola Bunny.
Lola.
Right. Now, Lola, basically Lola has not been cancelled per se, but due to cancel culture movement that basically is stating that Lola was way too sexy in the first movie, and that is basically leading kids to question stuff about themselves. And apparently some of the topics I saw is that basically Lola Bunny led to our generation being interested in furries, the furries lifestyle. Not exactly sure how we reached to that, but her characteristics of the character itself has been changed to be less sexy so that it would not be confusing to kids. So, like, really, we're looking at a bunny rabbit, right?
Well, I mean, she was undeniably hotter. I just wanted to say
she was, but the thing is that she had amazing talent for basketball. Yes, of course, she made everybody like Bugs and Daffy and all them crazy on the court, right? But what are we saying? There's so much emphasis that is placed from, even from kids, right, that sex sells, right? It's always been that sex sells. And you're changing a cartoon character because of the fact that you're saying she's too sexy.
I have to say,
families have built empires on sex sells, namely the Kardashians.
I thought you weren't going to name them.
I'm sorry. I had to. Like, where did the empire start? The empire, all this with billions now, the empire started with sex sells. Right?
On a tape. So,
yes. Right? So you're basically going to say, yeah. So basically you're saying that it's good for one family who had, well, I don't even know what their talents are other than being a mogul and a business empire, right? You're saying that it's okay for them because everybody loves them and they're like highest paid or whatever, and everything that they do is like gold, and you're basically bringing prejudice to a cartoon bunny.
I have to say, I find that move surprising, especially in the age of sexual liberation and freedom and women owning their identity. I could be sexy and smart
and have talent, don't forget,
and be talented. I mean, I am three of those things already, so
yes,
I'm just saying.
Yes, you are.
I'm just saying, but I find that surprising. It seems very 90s to me, actually.
It really,
you know, that whole parents picketing this particular scene, like, oh no, you're gonna make my kids.
Don't let us bring us back to Britney Spears. We're basically bringing it back to Britney Spears right now.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm surprised by that move. It seems archaic, but that's just another example of how you cannot please everyone. And again, where do you draw the line? Because somebody's gonna disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we should just leave the cartoons alone.
I have one more character that I need to discuss. Are you ready for me ending my last character?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, Speedy Gonzales.
Oh.
Now, Speedy Gonzales, basically, there is a cancel culture behind Speedy Gonzales because he is perpetuating negative racial stereotyping to Latin America. Which part of Speedy Gonzales perpetuates negative racial stereotyping? Speedy Gonzales, he runs very fast, he gets things done very efficient, and he's always on time. Yes, okay, he used to say his Aye, Arepa, Arepa, and then does the dance, right? But if you had to go behind any character that basically was a negative racial stereotyping to Latin America, that would have been Slowpoke Rodriguez, his cousin, who's always drunk, slow, and always getting into some sort of issue that Speedy has to save him from. Now, I love Slowpoke too, so please don't go after Slowpoke. But why is Speedy an issue?
I honestly don't even think that you should go necessarily go after Slowpoke, because it's showing, well, what I want to say is there's Speedy and then there's his foil, which I guess would be Slowpoke.
Yeah.
And it's kind of basically like any regular family. You kind of have the goody two shoes, and you have the rebel or the one who doesn't care, or the screw up. It's a very universal concept and shouldn't be directly tied to race. But I guess maybe
clearly,
you could make it that way because Bugs doesn't,
it went
have
off
a, Bugs doesn't have a stupid brother or something. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, Bugs does have a lot of family, but you don't see them very often. He's a bunny rabbit.
I honestly, I can't. I don't remember ever seeing a relative of Bugs.
Yeah, he does have it. In a good few of the episodes, you saw a few of them. I'll send you a few links so you can see it.
Okay, cool. It's been years. It's been years since I have seen the Looney Tunes.
Go on YouTube.
I'll do
they
that.
Have like entire, I'll they have hours of Looney Tunes cartoons.
But, you know, the questions and the issues with Looney Tunes, it's kind of like just circles. It brings us back into just going around in circles of, I get the intent, but again, the conversation is not as dry and clear-cut as a lot of persons who are behind the cancel culture would make it appear. And I think that's the important thing. We need to understand that it's not a, you can't paint everyone with the same brush. I don't want to say different strokes to different folks because that has such a negative connotation.
Yes.
But it's a nuanced conversation that you need to have. You have to have the conversation. You can't just point a finger like a caveman and say, you bad.
It's basically like they're doing witch hunts for just the first thing that basically triggers them without research, proper history, proper backgrounds, and then seeing, oh no, I don't like you. Like case in point, yeah. Eminem. Eminem's song, Love the Way You Lie, was a banger, right? That is basically one of his mildest rated G songs. If you're looking at like Criminal or Stan or any of those other songs, then of course red flags are raised for those songs. But you're actually looking at one of his, basically one of his more family oriented songs.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, what he's doing is that he's basically just making you aware of domestic violence. Him and Rihanna are making you aware of domestic violence. So it's just showing the perspective of the people in the relationships and the helplessness that they feel or the anger that they feel towards their partner. And that is exactly what the song is about. It's nothing that is discriminatory or, you know, pinning one gender against the next gender or anything like that. It's just bringing to light the kind of perspectives in a domestic violence situation.
Absolutely correct. All right. So, I mean, I totally agree. And you know, this is the conversation we have been having for some days now. And one of my friends, also one of our listeners, Doms, he would have given me his thoughts on it. So
hi, Doms.
I'm gonna read something that he said to me verbatim. So he says, I don't think it's a generation of cancel culture solely, it's a generation of accountability. There's a very popular saying now that goes, racism isn't getting worse, it's getting filmed. And I think the word racism can be replaced with any behavior which we reject or find unacceptable by today's standards. Example, misogyny, sexism, intolerance, anti-Semitism, etc. Many of the persons who claim that social media platforms are against their right to freedom of speech, however, forget that these organizations are private companies and have rules of engagement which are there to protect them from liability and have agreed to these policies upon initiation. Just choose another platform.
And I agree. I agree. For certain topics, cancel culture is a very valid and a very, it's needed, because at the end of the day, we're not having these conversations as social conversations, and awareness needs to be raised on it so that it can be addressed. And I agree with that totally. There are certain topics that cancel culture, yes, definite. There are certain topics that are new, right? And I don't know, do we need to have like a cancel culture board who just like you know,
yeah the ministry of cancel culture,
yeah, like a global ministry,
yeah. I mean, I don't want to be the minister, but
no, definitely
I don't
not
mind.
We can still look at their vetting process.
I don't mind being involved with that. I don't
want to review their vetting process.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But okay, so to really summarize my thoughts on it though, yes, I think cancel culture serves a purpose, a positive purpose. I think it's important for us to highlight problematic behaviors that can hurt others. But I believe that we need to do that with love and with grace, you know, recognizing that people, including ourselves, are all inherently flawed and we all mess up. And we are all sometimes misinformed or miseducated, but we all have the capacity to do and be better. So I believe if we want to make, I keep calling it cancel culture, because I can't think of any other word for it, really. But if we want to make this approach successful, we should focus on canceling problems and behaviors and not on canceling people. That's how I feel about it.
Basically, what I feel about cancel culture is that it is good, it does represent good, and it's actually brought a lot of things to light that were in the dark before and needed to be brought to light. There are certain topics that I don't believe that required cancel culture, but at the end of the day, when we live in this age of social media and that everyone has a voice, everyone has their opinions, everyone has their views, what you have to look at is basically look at yourself. Look at the person that you are. Look at the things that you are promoting. Everyone evolves. Everyone changes. Perspectives change. At the end of the day, basically, what you're saying is that, honestly, the only thing that I'm saying that you have to basically look at is, I can only say like the lyrics of Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. Would you like what you are promoting? If you're promoting hate, if you're promoting discrimination, would you like that for yourself? And that is basically what needs to be taken into consideration for the future of cancel culture.
100% agree. 100%. Let us not be hateful in the name of being woke, because then you're just as asleep as you accuse everyone else of being if you're doing it with hate. So I mean, that's my thoughts. This has been a wonderful discussion as usual. I think this one has been a bit longer than
I believe we've gone like over the hour.
Have we?
I believe so.
Well, that is fun. That's fun. But I guess that's probably time to wrap up here.
Yes.
All right. So, of course, you know, thank you once again, Chris, for joining me today. Looking forward to our next show, and I think you guys should too. So, on that note, so just want to thank you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. As usual, we are really appreciative of your time and for spending it with us. You know, we love you guys. That's what we do here on The Christian Show. It's love, it's light, and it's grace. So, thanks for tuning in. Definitely check us out for our next episode. This is not something that you want to miss. It's going to be very interesting. And make sure that you follow us, subscribe, do whatever it takes on whatever platform you're listening to us on to be notified when we next upload. And that's pretty much it for me. Anything to add, Chris?
You've basically covered everything. I just want to say thank you for everyone for listening, and we love you guys. And if you all have different opinions, we have our social platforms that you can actually raise it on. The details will be provided soon so that you can give us your feedback and let us know what you all think. And thank you again, and we love you all.
For sure, let us know what you think. Thanks again for your time. You guys have a wonderful evening, day, night, whenever you're listening to this. And that's it. Take care.